Howdy folks, Giorgio here, and welcome back to People Over Pixels, a show exploring the human side of running a digital business. This week, Sam and I will be spilling the tea on why we spent $100,000 to refurbish our office headquarters despite pretty much all of our team working remotely. Now, our business, Evoluted, is based in Sheffield, which is pretty much the centre of mainland Britain, but our team are located as far out as Birmingham, Liverpool, and even all the way up in Aberdeenshire. On the surface, it sounds like an insane business decision, but that's what makes this episode even more intriguing to listen to, right? So in this first episode of this exciting two-parter, we're going to be sharing the rationale behind our thought process to renovate our Grade 2 listed office building, engaging in some fun philosophical debate over the value physical office space still holds in a remote first world, and discussing urban sociology concepts on why working from home is making us more miserable than ever. And of course, we won't be leaving you without practical takeaways too, including how we developed our financial justification for the project and what the future of hybrid working might look like. Set your headphones to noise cancellation mode, block out the world, and let's get stuck in to episode 4. Sam, it's an exciting topic we're covering today.
It is. Can't wait to get stuck in.
We're talking about why we spent £100,000, which is a significant amount of money for most people.
Yeah.
On refurbishing our office HQ here at Evoluted for a team that works pretty much entirely remotely. Bit of an insane decision, some would say, when you put it like that. However, I promise there is a good rationale and lots of interesting fact behind it as well.
Absolutely, yeah. At the time when we decided to do it, we probably had at most 5 of our team working in the office at any one point in time. And we decided it was time to really look at what the purpose of our office was and what the reason behind keeping an office was when we had everyone working hybrid and remote.
Absolutely. Not having many people around, it seems like a weird decision to decide to invest in that office space. You know, after COVID and the pandemic and everybody starting to work from home, getting people to come back to the office and giving them a reason to come back was an interesting part of that decision making. Before we get too deep into this, it's important for our listeners to know that this is going to be a very exciting two-parter episode. In this first episode, we're going to be talking about a bit of the rationale behind why we made that decision, about what went into the thought process behind refurbishing our office, behind spending that money, the decisions behind whether we needed the team to be in the office and what they found valuable from a working space. And then we're going to record a second part for you to listen to, which goes into the practical elements of how we went about that refurbishment. Hopefully you'll find that interesting too. It will go into a lot of detail of the process of designing, planning, and getting the actual refurbishment project underway and how we talked about that with our team. So make sure you do listen to both episodes. This is the place to start. Grab your cup of tea, sit tight, and let's get stuck in. I suppose I want to get a bit meta first,
okay,
and kind of have a bit of a discussion about the value we discussed way back when we started the refurb project, which was around November 2022, and the value of having a physical space still as a company working in a digital world.
Absolutely. So pre-pandemic, we had a policy that allowed people to work at home, I think, once every 2 weeks, normally there just in case you need to wait in for the plumber, got a parcel delivery, that kind of stuff. Pandemic came along and we told everyone to pick up their computers and go home. And then we got into a real swing of things. The team worked really well at home. They got into the kind of groove of working in their home environment.
It was a really easy transition, wasn't
it?
Because we already had that existing once every fortnight working from home anyway.
Yeah. As things opened back up, we had some members of the team desperate to get back out the house and into the office, and some that vowed never to see an office ever again.
Some people were like caged animals. We've been stuck at home for all this time. We love the office environment. As soon as you open that back up, we're going to be there.
Yeah.
And others saw it as this horrible, you know, these are the shadowlands. Stay away from that place.
Yeah. For me, office has always been a quite distracting environment. I'm one of those people, the grumpy developer in the corner who's got the headphones on, doesn't want people to talk to me while I'm working. So working at home was a perfect environment for me. And that's what a lot of our team have concluded once we've opened everything back up, that actually they're much more productive in their home environment where they can control how loud the music is, when they get up to make a cuppa, and all those things around them.
Yep, absolutely. On the flip side, though, there's that psychological difference for some people of having a dedicated working space and that context switch of,
I am at home, absolutely. I am now at work. And some people do rely on having that physical change of location in order to get to that productive flow state.
Yeah, and I think everything being in your home environment does make it a lot harder to switch off in many cases. So with all this being said, we opened the office back up. We had a couple of people coming in a couple of times a week. But to say our office was bursting at the seams pre-pandemic, as in we had tables in corridors, it was basically a ghost land, wasn't it?
Absolutely. That's not a lie, by the way. We did have our design team sitting on two desks in a corridor between two rooms on our first floor, getting bashed by people coming past. But they were very kind and they made lots of cups of tea for everybody on that floor.
We had to relook at what the purpose of having office was. Was it worth selling the building and just deciding we're a remote agency? Or was there a better use of the space?
Yep. And there's an interesting anecdote there of we almost did sell the building and we did almost spend a few million pounds on a new office space that was about four times the footprint of our current one. And things fell through, or just the conversations didn't progress fast enough just in time for the pandemic to hit and lockdowns go into effect, which saved our bacon. I don't think the company would be here if that hadn't happened.
Yeah, I think it would have been a very different story.
So, lots of serendipity right there.
Yeah.
But you're right, you know, we had to consider what the real value of having that physical workspace was. One thing that I think is really important is considering the cultural element and the perception that people have of a company having an office space, despite the fact that most of us in this industry do now work online and so much of the work happens online, whether it's the communication, whether it's the delivery work, whatever it is, the marketing, the promotion, it's mostly all online. It's digital.
Yeah. Even our clients often will begrudge an in-person meeting.
Absolutely.
Some love to come and see you, but a lot of them are like, oh, can we just do it online?
But there's still that weird perception and culturally that if you don't have an office, you've not reached a certain level of success.
Yeah. Is it a real company?
Is a company, yeah, exactly. Is it a real company? Do you have the credentials and the kudos and the trustworthiness? Are you actually all like UK-based and people that we're going to get to meet and speak to? Or are you bullshitting? Are you using artificial intelligence? Are you offshoring everything and outsourcing to cheaper places? There's a cultural and perception element of having the office space and retaining that too.
I think that's the other really powerful part of it where everyone likes to have somewhere they call home, right? There's very few people who truly live a nomadic lifestyle where there is no such thing as home. And I think for a company, that should also be part of it, that it has a place where people can come together and be home.
Yep.
So that was the most important bit to me of keeping an office.
The office was the home for everything you needed.
Yeah, the heart of it.
That ties really closely into a concept that I've been reading up about recently, which is all about first, second, and third places. And there is a big debate at the moment about how lots of people are more depressed and more unhappy in their lives, especially now they're working from home, because there's a blurred boundary between the first, second, and third space.
Oh, I've not heard of this concept. Tell me a bit more.
I'm not an expert, but from what I can tell, one of the first people to kind of speak about and publish this research was a gentleman called Ray Oldenburg, who is an urban sociologist. Ooh. Not sure what that entails, but sounds very interesting, in the States. And he wrote about in our lives, each of us have three places.
Okay.
You have your first place, which is your home. It's where you spend most of your time. It is your base, your safe place.
Yeah.
I need to stop punching the microphone.
Very impassioned hand today.
Oh, I'm just so passionate about third spaces. Then you have your second place, which is where you work. So previously, this typically would have been your office, okay, a factory, a warehouse, like the place that you would go to do work.
Yeah.
And finally, you have your third place, which is kind of like neutral ground where people can meet, put aside other concerns, just have conversation, enjoy themselves. So, you know, your coffee shop, a restaurant, a bar that you go to regularly, the kind of places that feature heavily in sitcoms, you know, there's a reason they're there.
Heavy social spaces.
You will see in these sitcoms, you have the first, second and third place, and they will all feature as the prominent things within those characters' lives. But it's a place where you can enjoy the company of others, and that is your third space. And those are supposed to be the heart of your community and your social vitality. Basically, what we've done with moving to working from home is we've turned all of those three spaces into one.
Doesn't sound ideal.
It's not ideal at all. You will be at home, wake up, have your breakfast, have a shave, whatever. Then you will go to work at home. and spend the rest of the day there. And then for a lot of people, you might not now regularly go out and have interaction with friends, colleagues or family in a third space. You just do it at home.
Yep.
So you're at home.
At home.
You're at home.
At home.
And then you're at home again. And it's leading to a lot of unhappiness because those things that are core to having bases for different functional areas of your life are being completely blended together. We're not having those physical transitions, which is what works incredibly well for me, having a change from home to work. And it's causing a lot of depression. And real researchers are backing this up. You can go and you can search for this stuff online and you can find lots of research from across the world, both, you know, going back to the 90s and more up-to-date stuff that talks about the pandemic and the influence that's had on this. Not just my own bullshit for the sake of the podcast. Like I say, I'm not an expert, but I think this is an incredibly fascinating psychological phenomenon. And it's unknowingly something that we took into account when we were talking about what we do with our office space.
Yeah, I think it resonates quite a lot with me that, and why probably when I was working fully remotely, I had a little office in the house, very fortunately, but that still wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. It was great to be able to go out and work in a coffee shop, which was merging my second and third spaces maybe a little, but it still gave me that change, that context, and stopped me going a little insane at home.
Yep, absolutely. I think it's a really, really important thing, but it shows why subconsciously we were having those conversations about having Evoluted's office become the base, the home for the company and the community and social vitality that was built around our company identity. Interesting stuff. I do recommend going and reading a bit more about it. I think Ray has written a couple of books in the late 80s, early 90s that sound like really interesting reads. They're on my wish list. They're going to be being downloaded onto the Kindle when I finish the existing backlog.
So, excellent. Yeah.
What we actually wanted from it was going back to the point of our clients and how much value they got from being in the office. That wish list needed to encompass their needs too.
Yeah.
And what we both agreed on was that it needed to be a space that wowed them.
Yeah.
We wanted them to be able to come and visit us as they always have done, and have, you know, good, frank conversations that built relationships and built businesses.
Yeah.
But we wanted them to feel like they could come in and they'd be like, this is cool. This is nice.
Can I give you a rundown of what coming to our office as a client was pre all this?
Be my guest.
So, client would come to the front door. There'll be one parking space up front. Hopefully they managed to get it and someone else hadn't stolen it.
Who's taken my fucking parking space?
Happened quite a lot. Ring the doorbell.
Ding dong.
Our developer, James, would come and answer the door.
Hello there, I'm James. Hello. How can I help you?
Normally it'd be, hello, why are you here? Like, there wasn't really any experience to that, was there? It was
no.
And then they would leave them at the doorstep. They'd come into the main office and go, I've got so-and-so here to
with
come
the
see
door
you.
Still open. They're standing in the cold, sometimes in the rain, on a street in Sheffield.
And then you go, yes, can you send them to the meeting room, please? Yeah. So they go back to the front door. They go, yeah, come in and take them into the lift, take them up to the meeting space, sit them down in this, what is a grand boardroom and was then, all on their own at an 8-person table, and go, would you like a drink? They go, yes, have a cup of tea. And then the developer would run down 3 sets of floors.
No running.
Sorry.
Not on 3 flights of stairs, especially how steep these are. Sorry, there were no health and safety issues at Evoluted.
They walked very carefully down 3 sets of stairs, left the client sitting there all on their own. Sometimes they might turn the lights on for them.
No joke. Sometimes they did leave them sitting in the dark.
We did have one person who didn't know how to make fresh coffee. So put instant coffee in a cafetiere and took it up.
Oh, no.
Yes, before we had the coffee machine. They'd go downstairs, they'd make their cup of tea. The person for the meeting would then go up. And it would just be like this really fragmented, messy experience. What's it look like now?
Far better. Way better. A million times better.
How are you quantifying a million times better if you've done all the stats, run all the numbers?
Just a million. I mean, million. When you're at zero...
Like, yeah, and it's basically infinite.
Yeah, it's infinite times better. Yeah. Absolutely. So I undersold it at a million. Yeah. It's infinite times better.
Is that with one exclamation mark or two?
No, don't be silly.
Sorry.
No, it's so much better now. So the experience a client now receives with us is before they even arrive to the office, they've had communication from us detailing where there's parking spaces available, a nice diagram that we can link to from our website, a box that they can get directions from nice and easily by putting in where they're traveling from to come and find us, the contact details of who's going to be greeting them on the day. So they arrive, They park up nice and easily in the nice spaces we've got outside the building. They see our lovely, clean and repainted front entrance to 35 Lambert Street, the old John Watts Cutlery Works building. They ring the doorbell. It buzzes. One of our team members, who is now a little bit more trained on how to respond to these things, opens the door and says, "Ah, good morning, good afternoon, welcome. Come on in.
You must be John."
"Yep, you must be so-and-so. Sam, Giorgio, whoever it is just inside. Come with me." They can take them into the ground floor, take them into that nice open plan space where we've got people, you know, hard at work, having conversations together in the first little glass meeting pod that we've got. There'll be other teams working hard at their desks, getting things done. There'll be people talking and going through things together on the, you know, the communal working space. They'll then sit them down on the sofa and say, "Ah, would you like a drink? I'd love a cup of tea." Brilliant. And then next to them, they can continue the conversation, because it being open plan and the kitchen being right next to the sofa, they now no longer feel like they're just left by themselves.
Yeah. You've not left someone to stew in a bit of a weird thing.
As they're making that drink, they can give a nod to whoever's supposed to be coming and meeting them, who can come straight over and say, "Hi, I'm Sam, I'm Giorgio, I'm so-and-so. Lovely to meet you." We have the drinks made. We talk to them a little bit about the office space that we've done. They're wowed by it and they're really enjoying looking at all the details. They get to see more of the team before finally, "Brilliant, drinks are made. Let's go upstairs. Follow me." And then they get that nice smooth transition. We take them through the rest of the office, up in the lift. So it's a nice easy ride into the boardroom, which is nicely done up. Boardrooms already made up, the presentation's on the screen waiting for them. We've got the nice evoluted sign in the background to blend things seamlessly in with the one that they've just seen downstairs. And everybody just feels great.
Yeah. And I think you started that journey much further ahead, right? You didn't start it at the point they rang the doorbell. You started at the point they came from the online. And that's what we're talking about, that online to offline being a really seamless transition throughout it all. Well, I mean, you are right. That does sound infinitely better.
Infinitely better.
Infinitely better, yeah. And that's right. It was all about client experience and making sure that they felt welcomed. Were you here when the plumber got sat down at the meeting room table and got made a brew?
I mean, that sounds like a great experience for the plumber. I don't think he's going to get that anywhere else.
No, so plumber came to the door to fix the bathroom, knocked on the door, and Jamesh was like, "Oh, hi. This way, I'll take you up to the meeting room." Took him up to the meeting room, asked if he wanted a coffee. He went, "Oh, yeah, I'll have a coffee." Made him a coffee, sat him upstairs and came back down and said, "Oh, there's someone here for a meeting." Like, "Not got any meetings in today." Plumber was having a great time. They'd been sat down in a nice comfy chair.
He was.
Made a coffee.
Box of biscuits.
Box of biscuits, yeah.
I thought that story was going to end with, and then the client turned up and they were pointed to the clogged toilet.
That would have been amazing. Proper mixed messages.
God.
Yeah, our client experience was a really important part of it.
Yeah.
And making sure that the office felt welcoming and a second home for them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Really important part of what we do. And we've been working so hard on client experience in a number of different places over the last few years.
We took a big step back about what the purpose of still having an office was. And we concluded it was really important to have that separation, that space where our team can come together and collaborate, share ideas, keep each other company a little. And that's where it all started, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Recognizing that constant shifting split, especially throughout the pandemic and three lockdowns in the UK, there was a lot of evolution of being at home, then maybe being back at the office for a bit, and then do we go back home again or do we stay at the office and what do you do? But there was a shifting split between that being person and being online. And in that process, we developed a lot of insights into how we balance that relationship with a hybrid work model, how that refurbished office space supported hybrid work and remote work and accommodated the different needs for employees.
Before the pandemic, it was essentially a place to have your desk. Everyone had their own desk and there was a space that was yours in the office. Since then, everything's moved online. When we came back after the pandemic in the office, I remember one particular day when there were three different stand-ups going on and a client meeting all at 10 a.m.
In an open work environment. In an open work environment. An open office. We had a single meeting room, which was our boardroom.
And then we end up with three stand-ups in two spaces. So there was just continuous crosstalk
It's about 15 people all trying to have three different meetings at the same time in the same room.
Yeah.
And chaos would probably be a very light way of putting it.
Yeah, it wasn't productive. And that was a key part of this, was make sure that we created a space which was worked for the new working environment.
Yeah. So that's making sure that people that are distributed both at the office and remotely have effective collaboration spaces.
Yeah, because we need those who work remotely and entirely remotely for us. We've got people as far as Glasgow who need to still feel connected to the rest of their staff and the rest of their team who might be in the office or at home. And having spaces where they can have that remote collaboration was really important.
But at the same time, needing to build a space that gave flexibility in, once you were in the office, your actual working space, like you said before, pre-pandemic, we had fixed desks per person. We had, you know, the ground floor, which housed most of our development team. We had our first floor, which housed our marketing team and design team. We had our top floor, which was our boardroom, our meeting space. Yeah. That was when you had 40 people in all at the same time and they needed dedicated desks. Moving post-pandemic to this remote hybrid way of working, we needed to also ensure that we had flexibility in hot desking and people not wanting to have a fixed desk because you never knew who was going to be in on any one day.
This hasn't been very popular.
Were you going to be sat by yourself on a floor somewhere? Were you going to be sat and forced at a desk where you didn't have the equipment and environment that you needed to work productively? For example, two monitors to plug into laptops for developers, a quiet space to be able to, for someone like Sam, put your headphones in and be the grumpy old man sitting by yourself in the corner.
That's me.
So there are a lot of considerations on that front as well about how hot desking and flexibility worked. Bringing all of those different points together and many others that would take a lot of time to discuss today. So we'll just kind of cover a few things quickly.
It's not the time to get into whether hybrid, remote.
No, I'm not getting into that conversation. That's a no-go. That is danger zone. Essentially, bringing all these thoughts and ideas and observations together helped us start to prepare a bit of a wish list and a plan for what we wanted from our physical space and how we could then start to blend different elements in about employee well-being, about how it made people feel, about how we could blend culture with the office space as well. And some really important parts of that for us were producing ergonomic workspaces, more communal workspaces, as well as private ones, and bringing a bit of greenery and life into things as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Our office, one of our team described it as, looks like a 90s web design company, which it was, but it's moved on and it needed that real uplift to bring the life and the energy that we now have. And we saw it as an extension of our digital brand, didn't we? Like, it became, it's a physical manifestation of what we,
yeah, that's a really nice way to put it, a physical manifestation of the digital brand that we have. And even though it's something that's mainly being reflected to employees rather than to the outside world, it's still something where you want them to feel like there's a continuum, that there's a holistic plan behind all of this. We'd recently gone through a digital rebrand anyway. We launched a new website, we tidied up our brand to make it a little bit more modern, seeing as it hadn't been touched since 2012.
Yeah.
I think the office was probably touched around that time as well. So it was a really good time for us to bring that all together and make sure the branding was reflected across both our online presence and our physical presence as a company.
Yeah, and I think that well-being element of it was all about creating spaces which were fit for the purpose that people needed to do in that space.
Yep. No more having lunch at desks. Yeah. Have a proper space for people to break out and relax and, you know, sit around, have a chat together, be social. A proper kitchen environment.
Yeah.
So that people had space to, you know, store things, prepare their food, make a drink. And
it'd be social while doing
stuff. Yeah, be social. Yeah, have a physical separation from the desk area so that even if you are just making a brew for five people, you can contextually in your mind separate yourself from being behind that laptop and doing the work. And it's a very, very important thing. It's a very subtle thing,
yeah,
but it's very important. And I challenge anybody who has had that experience of being at a desk and then needing to have that little breakout space to tell me that that's a bad thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, our previous kitchen was the size of our lift.
It's probably about the size of a lift, the size of a small toilet.
But having that into the main, bring that into the main space meant that it could be used in a very social way. You could have a chat while you make someone a coffee. One of my favorite things is to be able to bring a client into the office, make them a cup of tea while you have a chat with them, and then take them into the meeting room, and it not just be a, hang on, you just sit here on your own, I'm just going to go downstairs three flights of stairs, make a cup of tea for you, and then bring it all the way back up again.
Yep. And that's a really important piece of design thinking that when we were replanning the office came in as well. I'm probably getting a little bit ahead of myself here.
Yeah.
In terms of this episode versus the next episode where we talk about the practicalities. But we also made that design decision to switch our floors over as well.
Yeah.
Whereas before we had a development team working on a ground floor, which is also where the kitchen is located and was a communal hub where people would come and chat. It would be a bit noisy because you're coming in and you're using the coffee machine or you've got a microwave going, and it was very distracting. So having that complete switch around there provided a much better environment for people working as well as those who are taking that breakout. Those in that breakout now have a space where they're not interrupting anybody else as much because it's a more social open environment. And those that want the quiet and the focus, Sam, get to go upstairs and hide away from everybody. I guess it gives them that nice quiet space to actually sit and focus without risk of interruption.
Yeah, organizing the spaces by what environment you wanted at that point in time. Like, yes, I do like to hide away with a pair of headphones, but I also like to have a chat and have that time with the team. So being able to take yourself away to a quiet space, but then also come back to a space which is designated as social space, was a really key part of it, rather than you being at your desk, you trying to concentrate, and there's two people stood above you having a chat across the desk. When you've got something really important you need to get out, it allows people just to take themselves away to areas which fits the type of work they're doing. We all have work which we really need to get our heads down and focus on. We all have work where we need a big online conference and lots of conversations going on. And then you also just need that water cooler time where you can go and have a chat about someone, discuss what account you're working on and ways to do it. So splitting it out into ways that worked for the type of work each person does, and not just the type of work they do in general, the type of work they're doing at that point in time allows them just to set up where they need
to. It's making micro moments, isn't it? Rather than expecting every to be the same.
You've got
a load of different micro moments and micro environments to support those.
Yeah, I guess it is like micro environments across the thing. We've got focus rooms, we've got rooms which are quieter, we've got core booths where you can just go and lock yourself away, we've got multiple meeting rooms, we've got a sofa, open kitchen, like more social spaces, and lots of different bits where they are all their little micro purpose in different room for that.
And this wonderful studio that we're recording in now.
And this wonderful studio, which used to be known as the Junk Graveyard.
The Junk Graveyard. Going back to your comment a minute ago about that water cooler opportunity, one final point I'd like to make on the reason why we broke everything out as well is our old office, the ground floor, as soon as you walked in, there was a huge dividing wall, which we called the fishbowl because it was a dividing wall with two big panes of glass on the front. And that was where Sam and I used to sit. It was a natural evolution from where our previous founders sat before they stepped down and we started running Evoluted. So naturally ended up taking over their desks. But what it meant was we had that typical thing of the leadership team being segregated and in that office away from the rest of the team, hidden away, tucked behind glass, and people had to, you know, gingerly knock on the door and go, "Are you busy?" And it was horrible because that's not the kind of leaders we are. It's not the approach that we like to take to working with everybody.
No. At the time, though, when everyone was working in an office environment, I think it was very important to have that private space.
Yes.
Now, anything that needs to be a private conversation with someone or stuff which is a bit more sensitive can be done at home or in a different environment. But at the time, I think it was, well, a terrible idea in some concepts, really important.
But still also really important.
Confidential space, yeah.
Absolutely. But now, breaking things out, making it more open and removing that big divider between us and the rest of the team has meant we can have more of those water cooler moments with the team. We can bond more. We can talk to them. We can be seen amongst everybody else,
yeah.
You know, because we are out there working towards the same mission as everybody else at this company is. We don't want to be seen as the people above tucked away in the ivory tower.
The top floor people.
Yeah, exactly. That's just not who we are. I think it makes you look like a bit of a bell end.
Yeah, no, I do agree that now I do a couple of days in the office, a couple of days at home, and choose the work I do in the office versus at home based on what I need privacy to do so.
So there was a lot of different elements that went into, you know, the design thinking behind the refurbishment decision. We spent from around November 2022 up until maybe March 2023, purely thinking about what we needed, the impact it would make, how this would change around. We had a lot of support along the way from both our team and from third parties who helped us plan and produce the refurb, which we'll get onto at a separate time. But as we were kind of pricing that up and thinking about how much is this going to cost, and ultimately we know that it did come out about £100,000.
Way more than I expected.
Way more than we expected. It's what we budgeted for, but more than we expected or anticipated, I suppose. Let's just have a quick chat about the justification behind that investment. I mean, for the sake of transparency, £100,000 for us is just under 5% of annual turnover.
Yeah, it was a huge amount of money. And it made us really question if we even wanted to keep this office, whether we should go into a big faceless office building that's lovely and open plan. We're in a lovely listed building, but it's listed so you can forget aircon. It's not terrible in the summer. It's got lots of little pokey rooms, which makes planning a nightmare. So it has a lot of drawbacks, but at the same time, it's got such a link to the heritage of the city. It's an old steelworks and we're really proud of the building. And I think a core part of it was, like you were saying, of having that space coming together, but also justifying it on the basis that we need something for our team to be able to rally behind. It is their home, not their family home, but it is part, it's what makes even
the second space.
The second space, yeah. And I think having that second space and somewhere where the team can congregate is really important. And I think that was the core justification for me, was we need somewhere where we can call the home of Evoluted.
Absolutely. It's not like we could just break down financially and make a financial justification.
Yeah,
behind
we wouldn't have done it.
Essentially, it was just napkin math, right? And that was all it took to get the rationale in place for this. Going back to that conversation right at the beginning of the episode about being in for morning stand-up, and there were three teams having stand-up and having conversation overlap and two client meetings going on and other people trying to collaborate in the office.
Don't forget the internet speed at the time.
And the internet speed was terrible, yeah. Like, from a productivity standpoint, that was awful. So, if we even made a productivity saving of 2 hours per week...
Seems quite reasonable.
...for 40 people by removing all of that overlap and all of that crap that went on, bearing in mind those stand-ups take place every day, so even if you only save 2 hours in the entire week for 40 people, by removing friction, we extrapolate that out a little bit. 80 hours in a week, 2 times 40. Multiply that by 52 for every week of the year.
I feel like you need a big whiteboard of.
And times that by our hourly rate, and you get a number that is a little bit over £400,000.
Okay.
In a year.
Way more than we need to spend on it.
By saving 2 hours a week per person. Now, realistically...
Gosh, that's a lot of money for
only
2 hours a person.
If only a quarter of our team, if 10 of those 40 people saved those 2 hours a week for a year, we're then still doing £100,000 worth of productivity savings.
Yeah.
That they can then be redeployed onto projects internally for Evoluted, better management and experience for our teams or our clients, new projects that actually bring in, you know, money for the company, pro bono work to give great things back to our communities. It was a no-brainer at that point, right? You know,
yeah, you've justified the 100 grand. Yeah.
And a 100 grand refurb will last us 10 years.
Yes.
So even if you only did like one person, that would be saving those 2 hours every week for a year.
Yeah.
And in those 10 years, you've still made your 100 grand of savings, right? It's an absolute no-brainer for us to have spent that money.
And it easily has done that.
I mean, now I'm saying this, maybe we should have spent more.
No. We're not redoing this. We're not starting again. We'll get to the practicalities later, but we're not going through this again yet. No. 10 years sounds too soon. Also made that statement of... No, we're here to stay. We're doubling down on the fact we've got an office. And it's a really important thing for a lot of our clients is knowing there is somewhere where they can go, they can turn up at the door and the team's ready to meet them and have that conversation. And there is a bit of, we need to know they're coming, so the right team's in the office. But ultimately, they know they can come and knock on that door and there is a physical place. There is a physical place where they can come.
It's a very strong statement.
Yeah, absolutely.
And looking back on it, I think it was doubly important for us to make that statement as there was a leadership transition in the company as well. Not only are you saying to our team and to our clients, look, we're here to stay. We're staying rooted where we are in Sheffield. We're going to be around for a long time to come. You're safe in our hands. Yeah. But also, there is a transition going on. The founder is stepping back from running the company. New faces are coming in to start changing things up. But at the same time, here's a physical manifestation of that positive change, of that branding, of that culture and the interaction you have with people that you already know from working with us for years, but also that trust that, okay, you're investing in this. Even as new faces to us, you're continuing on what we're used to.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's that, I think your point about it's a commitment, right? Like you say, it's going to take 10 years to pay off if we look at the financial numbers. And that's okay. We're going to be here for that time. And I think we realized, we did the maths and we worked out by the time we're ready to outgrow this office, it should have paid itself off financially. So it's that long-term thinking and going, no, we're here to stay. We believe that while we have staff who work everywhere, and that's great, we still need that physical space where clients can come and our team can come and collaborate. And collaboration is a key part of everything we do in our values.
I think retaining staff by giving them that trust and having a great environment to work in is important to mention here as well, both from the happiness and well-being, but also from the financial justification of spending that money.
Yeah.
If we'd have left things as they were, looking like a late 90s web dev company, we probably would have lost people organically because we wouldn't have been perceived as the best employer, as an up-to-date modern employer that gives them the same things that other people would. And there's a cost with that, talent replacement as well, and a cost if you don't have good retention.
It wasn't a nice environment to work in.
No.
It was much darker. Things weren't set up. There were a lot of broken things all over the place.
Like junk shoved in all of the cupboards.
Junk shoved in all the cupboards. We had a kitchen tap which had an extra water feature that came out the side. It was absolutely a feature, not a bug. But
we basically had a boiler on the wall to make a cup of tea from as well. Boiler,
So,
I'm glad we didn't have any Legionella issues with that.
Yeah. No, too hot for that. it was just time to invest in a space which our staff can enjoy, our clients can enjoy, and everyone can come together.
From a recruitment and retention standpoint, taking the flip side of retaining staff, our office refurb is also really important for the hiring of new staff. Yeah. And I think that for younger employees or fresh employees to our industry or the work that they'd be doing. And equally, it can be just as important for people that are more experienced and tenured in their roles. Seeing that a company has invested in that space and has a great place to work, even if being remote and being hybrid is first and foremost what we operate in, having that dedicated space, it's a nice thing for them.
Yeah.
It looks like you care about what you're doing. It looks like you've invested. It looks like you're established. It helps you make good decisions about where you're trying to find your first role. If you are a graduate or you're looking for an apprenticeship or a placement or even just that first step into something new.
Yeah. And we do care, not just look like we care.
Yes. Yeah, that's an important point. Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't have spent six figures if we didn't care.
No,
we
could that's really putting your money where your mouth is.
Straight into the profit pool instead.
Yeah.
Many people, when we've had interviews since we've done that refurb program and we've put out all of the press, all of the video, all of the photographs of, you know, the whole process from start to finish, have mentioned that. And that's a lovely thing that when you're talking to somebody and they're getting excited about Evoluted and you go, you know, what made you apply for this job? What attracted you to Evoluted? It's not just, oh, I work in SEO and you've got a job going.
Yeah.
It's you genuinely look like a company that cares and values employees. Everything I can see on your website, everything I can see from what you're posting on social media, the way that you've gone about producing the office and talking about the purpose of all of the different elements you put into it. It's an incredible tool for recruitment as well as retention.
Yeah, very rarely do we get people apply who apply just for the job. They always apply for other reasons and the culture around that. And I think the office is a really strong part of that.
For sure. This has been a bit of a nice but meandering conversation, I think, about the rationale and the thought process that went into those 5 months before we started our refurb project. There was a lot that went into it, a lot of planning, a lot of reasons and observations from people being at the office, at home, doing a mix of the two and multiple other things. Episode 2 is going to talk about the practicalities of how we planned that refurb and will maybe be a little bit of a more logical structure as we go through things like technology, as we go through things like sustainability, design, planning, materials, etc., etc. So to end part one of this two-parter on our £100,000 office refurb, I'd like to talk about the future of workspaces. We did a lot of thinking. We did a lot of planning about what we wanted from our current workspace. We are post-COVID.
Yeah.
Technically.
Post-confidence crisis.
There are going to be future challenges that will hit companies as well over the next decade plus. Speculate for me, Sam. What do you think the future of office spaces is going to be?
I'm a huge fan of that balance. I think everything has to be in balance. And for me, I see the future of workspaces still hybrid. I think there's a lot of benefit of having time when you're away from the team. But as a result, you need that other side of it. There's so many conversations, if everyone just worked remotely, that just missed out on those overheard in the office and I'm struggling with this or how are you getting on with that, that just get lost when it's fully remote. So for me, the future of workplace as a physical thing is all about collaboration and having that space where people can come be part of that community and collaborate together.
It's an interesting take. Not one I disagree with at all. I think I'd expand on that, going back to that topic of first, second and third spaces as well. As things develop, I believe more workspaces will actually start to encompass different elements of those different spaces. So you've got your home.
Yeah.
You've got 0.5 of your second space. Part of that might be at home. Part of that might be at an office or a physical location like a co-working space. But for offices and dedicated offices like ours, to specify, I think that the future of working and workspaces and offices is going to take more of that co-working element into it. Not that you'll let any old randomer in to book a desk whenever they want, but you'll start to integrate more of the community feel with it.
So you're taking that space free into the space
exactly,
two.
Exactly, you're taking that space three. And you see lots of offices now start to have dedicated areas for community events, whether that might be like a meetup, and you've got some beer fridges or whatever, and you've got like catering facilities, and people can come in and they can have these meetup groups. For us, we have a D&D group that meets every couple of weeks and uses our office space as a nice big table in the boardroom with, you know, presentation facilities to get any materials up that they need. And they run D&D sessions in an environment that they might struggle to have the space for at home, for eight people to gather around a table and get stuck into doing something like that. So I think you're going to see more elements like that come in. The collaboration, the third spaces, the hangout spots. Not with all the bullshit like you got with the tech scene over the last 10 years of, hey guys, we've got a ping pong table. Whoa! But you're going to get more interesting employee-driven third spaces being built out of your existing office.
It's an interesting take. I mean, there's places like Google and their campus where it's entirely designed so you never leave.
Yeah.
Like they're meant,
which is going too far in that direction.
It looks like you're having fun, but actually what it means is you're never leaving your workspace. You're always working. Yeah, it's the golden handcuffs. That's how they describe it. And I think finding that balance, but I think what the key bit of what you've said is the employee driven.
Exactly. It's bottom up, not top down. We're not forcing you to stay. You're choosing that this is a great place for you to do something in.
It's a space for your employees to use to have a community with the company.
Yeah, and I think that's what we've tried to build here.
Yeah.
It's giving them the space and the tools to evolve in their own way and do things. And we let people come and park at the office when they're not at work because it's really nice and centrally located to Sheffield City Centre. We let them come and use the space out of hours for D&D or for recording things in the studio or for having some beers together or whatever else it might be.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where I see things going. The other element that I think is going to be brought into workspaces in the future is more benefit driven.
Okay.
And bringing more supplementary benefits into a workspace. And it does feel a little bit Google golden handcuffsy, but again, I see it as something that benefits people that come into the space on a ad hoc basis.
Yeah.
So I'm talking things like every year Evoluted get flu jabs done in the office. Yeah. We pay for flu jabs, employees come in. It becomes a space that brings elements of where you'd have to go to a pharmacy or to your GP surgery, and you can have it centrally located at the same time as seeing all of your colleagues, at the same time as being able to go to work without having to take any time out to go and do it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure there's lots of other things and lots of other benefits that can be brought in. That could be financial planning sessions. Yeah. It could be, I don't know, massage, a hairdresser coming in. Like, I don't know, right? But I think that on that line of making those spaces more collaborative and useful to people,
yeah,
I think we're going to start seeing elements of that come in, and people bringing those contractors into their offices to provide more of those services in a way that supports their employees to not need to then take out of their flexible working time anyway, more travel time to go and do the things that they would do. If I need to grab a haircut, instead of it being an hour to go there, an hour to have the haircut and an hour to get back, I can be at the office, have my booking, get it done. Lovely.
Yeah. It no longer needs to be a space where you're cramming debt in, which is a massive luxury to be able to say that we can afford to have space. But as a result, that space can be used for many other purposes along the way. It'd be really interesting to see how it unfolds over the next couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. If there's anything we've learned from this process, it's that you have to take a step back, break things down and evolve how you're doing things. An office doesn't just have to be about those desks anymore. No. You're right. You can do so much more with it.
And I think every year it's going to change. This is a new way of working and no one knows what's coming yet.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess for our listeners, we'd love to hear your thoughts on this topic as well, whether you want to leave a lovely review for the podcast and leave us any of your comments in those reviews on the episode, whether you want to reach out to us on LinkedIn and have a conversation about your own offices, your thoughts on office spaces, how they might evolve. It'd be really interesting to hear your thoughts as well. So please do let us know. Look out for the next episode. It may be out already, depending on when you're listening to this in the timeline of the People Over Pixels podcast. If it's there and it's ready for you to listen to, hit next episode.
Yeah.
See what you think, and find out how we took all of this learning, all of this knowledge, and implemented it into the refurb itself.
Hopefully we can share the lessons so you don't have to go through them yourselves.
Absolutely. Hopefully save you lots of time, lots of money, and lots of stress.
Absolutely.
Cool. Until next time. Ciao.